We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Welcome to the Solid Verbal.
The Solid Verbal.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
I've heard so many players say, well, I want to be happy. You want to be happy for a day? Eat a steak.
It's that woo woo!
And now, Dan and Ty.
Welcome back to the Solid Verbal, boys and girls. My name is Ty Hildenbrand. Joining me, as always, over there in beautiful Chicago, Illinois, Dan Rubenstein in the heart of the heartbreak. Outside, yeah. Evanston, Dan. I'm guessing a quieter street on the neighborhood last night after Michigan State's upset bid over your Northwestern Wildcats, Dan.
Yeah. No, similar type rioting, except it's more angry instead of joyous in the streets now.
Okay. Oh, so a lot of looting, that sort of thing.
Yeah, a lot of terrible pizza being thrown at each other. All sorts of bad news. The full garden atop hot dogs being strewn about into the gutters. Ty, we'll get there. I promise we'll get there. I want to talk about celebrity boxing.
That was not where I was planning to go with the top of the show, but if
I know
you wish,
I'd like to talk.
Continue.
I don't want to talk about Roy Jones, Mike Tyson. I think they fought to a draw. I did not watch any of it.
Nor
did you
I.
See that? Was that the final result?
I have absolutely no idea. None
okay,
whatsoever.
I can confirm that. Whatever. I want to talk about former Washington cornerback Nate Robinson.
Okay.
Being knocked out by a YouTuber, one of the Pauls, not Sean Paul. That would be great.
Sean Paul.
Not RuPaul.
Jake
I don't know.
Paul?
Jake or Jack or Logan or one of them. One of the Pauls.
Logan Paul. Right. Okay.
And they apparently won? He knocked him out. He knocked him out, like
really?
Out cold. And apparently Nate Robinson was woozy, and they probably should have said, that's it, no mas. Shout out Roberto Duran. But yesterday, in that fashion, and I suppose Friday, in very specific regards, various ones, stop the fight Saturday.
Stop
there
the
were
fight
so
Saturday.
Many instances. And it's not just because one team was stop. He's already not nothing like that.
Right.
I mean, Iron Bowl, arguably. Yes. But just in terms of the Oregon rushing defense and just in terms of whatever it was, Texas A&M and LSU were swinging wildly, just connecting on air constantly. There were so many instances where we could have just said, that's it. That is it.
Right.
Stop the fight Saturday, Ty.
Well,
Texas in high leverage situations, ugly, bruising.
Yeah.
Stop the fight Saturday, even though there was Friday and Thursday action.
You could definitely go that way with it. I think in general, just a slim down Saturday is about as center of the fairway as you can get, because we had, again,
sure,
a situation.
Saturday.
a situation with a bunch of games that were canceled or postponed. We had coaches testing positive. We've got a very strange circumstance potentially unfolding in the Big Ten, especially regarding Ohio State, because, you know, we assume that they're going to win their remaining games. We just can't really assume how many games they're actually going to have left. Remember, the threshold in that conference, at least as of now, the benchmark is six games. You don't get the six games, can't play in the conference championship game. We'll see if that changes. There is some potential for that average to go down to five, and then maybe there'd be a little bit more wiggle room for the Buckeyes, but something to keep your eye on. It's not great news any way you shake it.
No.
We also had some highlights, you know, outside of the celebrity boxing, which we're not a celebrity boxing show, I promise you. We had a woman competing for the first time at the Power Five level for the Vanderbilt Commodores. We'll talk about Sarah Fuller and her kicking in a little bit. We also had Jarrett Patterson from Buffalo rushing for 409 yards and eight touchdowns. His coach, Lance Leipold, did not know that he was so close to setting the all-time record. Otherwise, he would have left him in. But nonetheless, an impressive day for him. I thought a good batch of games on Friday. Not as much yesterday on Saturday, but we had a couple good ones that we'll kind of use here in the lead into the totality of Week 13. Because Saturday itself didn't have a whole lot of high-level matchups. To your point, stop the fight Saturday can mean a bunch of different things to a bunch of different people.
Oh, I'm going to sell it hard this entire episode, Ty. Don't you worry. Absolutely,
because
I will.
Because the biggest result of national significance was probably that Northwestern-Michigan State game. Otherwise, you know, the Egg Bowl was fun, but not a lot riding on that outside the state of Mississippi.
Right.
We could talk about the Rutgers comeback win. That was exciting. Maybe doesn't have a whole lot of broad appeal, but an interesting Week 13.
Disagree.
Why don't we start where we usually do? Let's play your Week 13 reverbs. Have a listen.
At least we have Nebraska ball.
Dan and Ty, it's Connor from Dallas.
Dan, Ty, this is Nathan from Indiana.
Hey, Dan and Ty. Colton from Ames, Iowa again.
This is Ethan from Waco, Texas.
This is Luke in Mobile. It's 9:30 Saturday morning. I'm about to leave for Tuscaloosa. Just checking my kitchen appliances. Yep, crock pot is set to start cooking at 2:37 Central Time.
Dan, Ty, this is RJ from Buffalo. I am furious with you, Lance Leipold. How dare you take him out right now? I don't care. I take back everything I've said nice about you. How could you do this to me? You were so close.
Notre Dame 31, North Carolina 17. Ian Book got a little bit of Johnny Manziel.
Dan, Ty, this is Michael from Louisville, Kentucky. My Cats just took a 10-7 lead on the Gators, and I hereby declare that we should stop the count.
This is Jackson calling from Ames, Iowa.
Stop the
fight! And I just booked my flight to Dallas. Going to the Big 12 Championship, baby. Let's go Cyclones.
Great day to be a Cyclone. Bad day to be a beer. Roll Clones.
So there I was. First half, watching my Yellow Jackets. Fumble a punt, 5 yards into our own end zone for an opposing touchdown. Step out of bounds on the kickoff at the 4-yard line leading to the safety. But then in the second half, Jeff Sims, Jameer Gibbs, and company completely redeemed themselves. Go Yellow Jackets.
Wonderful time of the year where we get to celebrate family, friends, and football. And Northwestern no longer being undefeated. Go Green.
Did James Franklin just save his job and end Jim Harbaugh's career while Matt Patricia is looking to coach the other Lions?
Hi, this is Dan in Minneapolis. I just watched Purdue lose to a Rutgers team that only ran quarterback runs for the entire second half. So I'm going to spend the rest of the night watching John Wick 2 because at least I know that'll make me happy.
When all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail. When you have Johnny Langan in a quarterback, the end result is still the same. Rutgers 37, Purdue 30. Are you rah-rah?
Johnny Football is on the banks of the Raritan River, baby. Are you rah-rah?
My Georgia Bulldogs just put some Gamecock in their crock pot, turned on high with some rushing yards and some good defense for another win in Columbia.
The field goal is good by John Mayers. Money John Mayers. John from way downtown Mayers. John, make it rain on a Mayers. John, the triple threat Mayers.
Hi, Dan. This is Luke. I'm back in Mobile. enjoying this delicious Auburn Tiger stew. But the best thing about this meal is that you get to feast off this baby for another 364 days. Roll Tide, roll.
That Iron Bowl just makes you ask, is the backup head coach better than the starter?
I can't help but notice the update about Nick Saban on the bottom of the screen here. He felt helpless. And I'm not going to lie, it's kind of making me sick seeing it over and over. If I have to read about Nick Saban yelling at his TV while his team won by almost 30 points against Auburn, I might just throw up.
The bad news about the Ducks, not only did they lose the Civil War against Oregon State, they also lost the battle for the worst uniform of the day. That goes to South Florida. P.U.
As a high school football official, I hate ragging on officiating in games, but oh my God, Pac-12, Oregon and Oregon State, what is this crew doing?
Dan, Ty, I just want to report that my Arkansas Razorbacks just beat Mississippi State by 80. I mean, that's just, what? What do you mean it was basketball? What do you mean, Mississippi Valley State? Who's that?
All right. Good batch of calls. Thank you.
Yeah, buddy.
To everyone who dialed in to 408 Verbal One, thank you to our boy
Shout
Ryan.
Out Luke and Mobile. Really yeah. Coming through.
For cutting those together, he did a great job. We saw a Stop the Count Saturday in there. We heard a Stop the Count Saturday in there, which wasn't
too far off.
Also, how many times do I have to make the John Mayer's heartbreak warfare joke? Kicker from Baylor, kicking the game-winning field goal. I did it a bunch of times last year. I would have thought by now that would have caught on. I'm a little disappointed it hasn't caught on.
Ty, it's just about reps. It's just about you throw a million nicknames out there and you see what sticks. And some are, some aren't. It's up to the people, Ty. It's a free market nickname economy that we need to roll with. And people aren't buying it. It's okay. We just move on to the next one. I didn't even tell you this, Ty, but Egg Bowl-wise, I put up the Mwally sound for Jaden Wally. And we'll see if it sticks. We'll see if he is an incredible receiver for State these next 3 or 4 years. And hopefully we can play that sound all the time. But if the free market decides that's annoying or that Jaden Wally's no good, so be it.
All right. Well, I'm going to find that sound while we're talking through.
Yeah, please do.
All of these other games. But why don't we start with, I guess, the games that have the most national or playoff or just whatever significance, right? Because
sure,
as we said, it was a bit of a slim down slate this week. There were a lot of games where Stop the Fight was a thing, but Oregon State, Oregon was not one
this
of them.
This is where we begin.
We're going to start here.
We had a ranked matchup, Notre Dame, North Carolina. We had Auburn, Alabama. And you want to start here? Okay, that's fine. We can do whatever you want.
We can move to those games next. But since you are our resident Oregon alum.
Yeah.
And since this game was played on Friday, the optics were something else. We had the thick fog. Here's why it's significant. Oregon was, I think, seen by many as the best chance for the Pac-12 to worm its way into that playoff. Now, right. Again, circumstances are very strange all throughout because we've got some teams playing a lot of games, other teams not playing as many. The Pac-12 obviously is on the lower end of that spectrum. So it was always perhaps a little bit of a slimmer chance for the Oregon Ducks. But certainly losing to their rival in this game, excuse me, that's not going to bode well.
You're choked
Dan.
Up. I get it.
So talk to me about what happened here. Talk to me about the weather situation. And also sure. about Jamar Jefferson, who just had a monster game for the Beavers.
Absolute monster game. He goes, what, 226? I think it was either his first, a very early touch, went for 80-plus yards and a touchdown. Untouched. The tackling of the Oregon defense leaves a lot to be desired. Ty, there's two parts of the term tackle football. And arguably, the first part is the most important part, and Oregon and tackling have not come hand in hand. This has been a problem across the country, not unique to Oregon. I think we should give credit to Jamar Jefferson, who looks to be the best running back in the conference right now. He's been outstanding thus far. So Oregon State has a major weapon there. Their defense hasn't been great, and Oregon took advantage early on, and it looks like Oregon is going to sort of run away with it just because they're generating yards through the air, on the ground, big plays. Devin Williams has stepped up as a number one receiver for them. Micah Pittman, I know, has been out for a little while. I think he may have been in this game a little bit, but I may be mistaken. I don't think he had a catch. And Oregon, and then that playoff conversation, anybody who's watched, I guess, all of the Oregon games that have existed, Stanford, big plays against this Oregon defense. Wazoo, big plays and points against this Oregon defense. UCLA nearly beat Oregon and rattled off a ton of big plays, especially on the ground against this Oregon defense. So they came into this game as sort of an LRO team.
Right.
And Oregon State in a rivalry at home with a big weapon on offense, situationally won out. They didn't turn the ball over, right? Oregon turned the ball over three times. It was still a game at the end. Oregon still had a shot at the end. But offensively, Oregon had been getting stronger at the end of games in the second halves, and they got weaker against Oregon State. And so it was a tough watch because this is something I've made a point of these past few years, where it's just like, can we just watch a football game without talking about the playoff? And it's just Rod Gilmore questioning every decision and Dave Fleming, who I think is good, talking about, oh, what does this mean for the Pac-12's playoff chances? Oregon's not a playoff team. They never really were, if you've watched the Oregon Ducks. And it's just watching your team lose when they deserve to lose doesn't hurt all that much.
Right.
But this broadcast was a rough watch at times. So
okay. Right.
Oregon will be fine. Oregon will be fine. They were up against it. Oregon State was definitely good enough to take advantage, and they did. Shout out to the Beavs.
Yeah, I texted you. We talked about it on the live stream we did last night for those who maybe caught up on that. And you can go out to our Twitter feed and watch it back if you so desire. But I read off a text message that you had sent to me I sent to you saying, boy, this fog is something else. And you just wrote back, thanks, Oregon's not that good. And that was the full extent of our conversation on this game.
They're fine. They're just not that. They're not that as in playoff that good. And that's okay.
Well, there's
too much new.
Your final score here was 41-38. Good effort by Oregon State to find a way to win at home. We could talk about the Notre Dame-North Carolina game, since it seems like that's where you wanted to start, Dan, and not talk about Oregon Ducks. Notre Dame 31, North Carolina 17. So Carolina comes out guns a-blazing. They score touchdowns on their first two drives. And from that point forward, the Notre Dame defense really tightened up. Just 3 points the rest of the way for the Tar Heels. They didn't score at all in the second half. And that's significant because we often talk about the SP Plus and where teams rank relative to each other on a per play efficiency basis. Carolina was like the fourth best offense in the country. This is not a not a mere peon of an offense. They were very, very good. They were averaging a tick over 40 points per game coming into this one. So the job that Clark Lee did after that initial burst with that Notre Dame defense, I think, was really impressive. He did a lot of what I actually said on our preview show. A lot of pressure without actually blitzing. They sacked Sam Howell 6 times. They muddied up the pocket. They changed that rhythm. Carolina is also a very good running team. They weren't able to really, you know, do too much damage on the ground against this Notre Dame defense. So with that as sort of, I guess, the foundation for Notre Dame in this football game, it kept them very, very tight with North Carolina early. And then beyond that, as we got deeper into the game in the second half, we started to see Notre Dame really assert itself. And like I said to you, it's been a long time, maybe 25 plus years, to be honest with you, since I felt this way watching a Notre Dame team in a big game. I'm not going to pretend that North Carolina is a national title contender, but they were certainly good enough to win. I don't think there's
They do something really, really well.
They're very, very good. And they could have won this football game. No doubt about it. They are good enough to beat a Notre Dame team. They're good enough to beat a lot of teams in the country, frankly.
Yeah.
But what Notre Dame did here, how they put the game on ice, they played lockdown defense. They put the game on ice. And it felt genuinely, as it has the last couple weeks, to be honest, that
Notre Dame got better as the game wore on. They started to figure it out. They started to make adjustments. Ian Book, again, was very, very solid. It does feel like both the running game and the passing game are merging together into some sort of cohesive offense now, whereas last year we had bits and pieces of a rushing attack and bits and pieces of a passing attack, a lot of Ian Book scrambling and looking nervous in the pocket. It feels like this team is getting better. One of the few teams in the country right now that is truly getting better from week to week. And as a Notre Dame fan, that's very exciting, because that has been a huge criticism of the Brian Kelly era, that they've gotten better, but they've gotten to a point of maybe hitting a glass ceiling.
Yeah, that's a lower ceiling. Yeah.
Right. This is the first time that I can remember in earnest where I watch this team and I feel like, obviously they beat Clemson, and Clemson wasn't without their own issues in that game. But beating Clemson, watching Notre Dame every game since, it's apparent to me that this is a team that is certainly getting better. And I don't want to get too excited about what
it excited, means. Get excited, baby. Come on. We need something.
I don't want to get too excited about what it means nationally, but this is truly the first time in a long time, and whatever kind of a goofy year we've got here, where it feels like Notre Dame is good enough to be in that playoff and actually make some hay.
Kirk Herbstreit's number one team in America, we should point out, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Yeah. Ian Book looked really good. He's down two offensive linemen in front of him. He had to scramble and make plays. He had a couple of like roll out left, roll out right, finally find somebody, finally scramble, whatever. He was a playmaker. He went deep to Javon McKinley a few times, which was impressive, and took the top off of the North Carolina defense. You were absolutely right about Clark Lee and the defense getting pressure without that many dudes. I mean, if tackle football is about tackling, it's also about tackling without needing to send a ton of dudes to tackle all the time. And that's what Notre Dame was able to do on defense. It reminded me watching North Carolina succeed on offense early on and then just get everything clamped down. It was only 3 points after the first quarter, none in the second half. It felt like Notre Dame threw out a couple of easy geometry problems, some hypotenuse, some Pythagorean theorem early, just to get North Carolina maybe a little bit too comfortable. And then an onslaught of word problems, Ty, an onslaught of stumpers near
rubrics.
The end of that test.
Yeah,
a lot of rubrics, a lot of proofs needed. And North Carolina is a first half of the test team. Right. And Clark Lee threw out advanced defense by just not overthinking it. Right. Just sticking with what had worked, sticking with trusting his dudes. And it showed. It was a slow death for North Carolina, especially in that fourth quarter. And that with Notre Dame thin along the offensive line, thinner than usual, that could have been where North Carolina made a difference, wearing down Notre Dame up front. But the Irish didn't get phased at all.
No,
so really impressive win on the road.
Or how about Kyle Hamilton getting ejected for targeting? Very obvious targeting call. Kyle Hamilton gets the boot. He's arguably their best player on defense.
So he down can, key dudes. Yeah.
Yeah, you can make the case for others. But Kyle Hamilton is just a bull coming down from the defensive backfield. To lose him in this game, especially against a really good passing team, that would have done a lot of other teams in, but Notre Dame filled in well. They performed well, and they closed strong in this football game. So they got two games left.
Yep.
Barring any kind of catastrophe against, what is it, Syracuse or Wake Forest, whoever, Notre Dame seems like they'll probably be undefeated going into that ACC rematch with the Clemson Tigers.
Some say number one team in the country, title some, favorite.
Some say.
Some
All
say.
Right.
Some say.
Let's talk about the Iron Bowl. I want to talk about the Iron Bowl. 42-13, no Nick Saban. It turns out, no problem. This was a full-on crock potting.
I'm just preparing the meat.
That tenderizes it.
That tenderizes it in a big way.
Crock potting!
Yeah!
Just 7-0 after the first quarter in favor of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Mm-hmm.
Yada, yada, yada. Up 42-6 early in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
You don't usually yada, 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 35 points worth of offense, but we've grown very accustomed to doing so with the Alabama Crimson Tide. As our caller pointed out, he got the crock pot ready, went to the game, came back. Your final score here again, 42-13, Dan. Mac Jones, again, outstanding. 5 touchdowns. The Bama defense, quietly the story here. They've given up just 33 points in their last 18 quarters of football. That defense is going to be a force to be reckoned with as they move forward against some other really good teams on their schedule, presumably, as we move forward into the SEC title game against Florida, whoever they would get in one, maybe two rounds of the college football playoff. That defense, it feels to me like it is not quite getting its credit because so much attention is on Mac Jones and what this offense is able to do week in and week out. But to hold, look, Auburn is not an offensive juggernaut this year, correct?
Weren't last year either.
But they're still very
managed
capable.
Managed to score a ton against Alabama in this game, thanks to, I think, two pick sixes.
It's still a very capable unit with a lot of talent. To hold them down in the manner that they did here, again, speaks volumes about where that Bama D's at.
Absolutely. That to me was actually the story. I mean, if you're talking about the crockpot recipe, yes. Heaping portions of Mac Jones to Devontae Smith, right? Devontae Smith is the best receiver in college football. I don't think that's at this point. I mean, there are great guys all over the place in Amari Rodgers and Chris Olave and across the country. There are really great receivers. But the ease with which Devontae Smith finds creases and just scores touchdowns, just is able to turn a swing pass into 30. There's just something crazy impressive about it. But yes, I think the actual story in this game is the evolution of Alabama's defense from the Ole Miss game / Georgia first half, at least, into what they are right now. Not needing to rush a ton, three guys at times on third downs, but it's what Barmore and it was Allen, it was Anderson, it was guys up front that were just making Bo Nix's life a living hell. And then behind them, the youth that has stepped up on Alabama's defense. I don't know if you had a chance to sort of spotlight your eyeballs on Malachi Moore.
Oh, he's so good.
But I am now just like my kink right now after watching Oregon's defense struggle in all of their games to tackle in the open field is watching Clemson, is watching, who's it, Andrew Booth, who's been really great for Clemson in their secondary, is watching a guy like Malachi Moore take down Anthony Schwartz on a reverse in the backfield, make plays on the ball and tackle in the open field. That's the difference between your goods and your greats. That's what Notre Dame has been doing, right? They make contact with an offensive player.
That's true.
And that is that. And to me, that has been the improvement with Alabama. And that is what has separated them from very promising in terms of a title early on into definite leader in the clubhouse in terms of the odds to win the 2021, I don't know how we're going to classify it, national championship. That it was crazy impressive. They covered a spread without their head coach there. I thought Sark did a fantastic job calling this offense and managing the game for Alabama on the sideline, thrown into that position kind of last second. So credit there as well. But yeah, Auburn is a shell of what their ceiling has been under Gus Malzahn.
Yeah. No, I agree completely. But what was the line here? 24
and down two starting offensive linemen as well. Tank Bigsby did end up playing, but was not, I don't believe, a huge issue.
It wasn't a huge factor here. But
no,
24 and a half in this rivalry is a lot of points. And I know that raised eyebrows. I think we both went Alabama. Doesn't matter one way or the other. It just kind of serves as a barometer for where we're at in 2020 with these teams. Let's jump over to the Big Ten.
Okay.
We talked about this game at the top. Riots in the streets of Evanston. 29-20. Michigan State knocks off the previously undefeated Wildcats. So there was almost nothing about this game that was pretty.
Right. Correct.
For the most part, a really, really rough watch. Tough football game to watch. But got to credit Michigan State here. Regardless of whether you felt Northwestern was legit or not, the year of our Lord 2020, Daniel, has been a rough go here for Sparty. I still don't really know what this team is or isn't, if I'm being honest with you. But
I do. Chaotic.
Chaotic, sure. They jump out to a quick 17-point lead.
Yeah.
Clearly, they were prepared to some degree. A couple schoolyard plays out there. With Rocky Lombardi just, drawing it up in the proverbial dirt and it works out as a long pass play, right? Like, they get the points. Mostly, though, it was, I thought, a story of their defense. Again, defense forcing four turnovers here. They got good pressure on Peyton Ramsey throughout the course of the game. Northwestern, to their credit, did come back from that 17-point deficit. They made it close. But this is just not a team built to play from behind.
And no. Well, they took the lead.
They took the lead. I was skeptical when they were down by 17.
They went up 20-17, I believe, is the score when they
in the second
had
half,
an opportunity to sit on a lead. Yeah.
Is not a team, though, built to come from behind normally. In this case, they did. We joked on our live stream that perhaps somebody was able to hit the over on that bogus touchdown to close out the game for Michigan State, which gave them 29. That was not the case.
Turns out, yeah.
Thankfully for those folks. But look, a nice win for Michigan State. Uncertain circumstances the whole year through for those guys. And Mel Tucker just finds a way to get the job done here against the Northwestern Wildcats. We had talked about maybe there being some sort of, I don't know, letdown for Northwestern, what have you. I don't know if that's what happened here. It just seems like Michigan State came out guns a-blazing. They got the job done.
Northwestern was never an amazing team. Like what has happened because it's been such a strange season is we see stories about like, is Northwestern going to run the table? What are Northwestern's playoff chances? What are Indiana's chances of winning the Big Ten on a technicality if Ohio State can't? What are we doing? Why are we having these disingenuous conversations? And why can't we just appreciate Northwestern's really impressive bounce back season led by a very strong defense most of the time and an offense that has improved somewhat, but has a ways to go. And Northwestern, you're right. They just scored 23-4 points. You're going to beat Northwestern. That's fine.
Yeah.
But that's not a team we need to be talking about in terms of what top 10 caliber playoff threat is. So all of that conversation aside, it was a strange game. Northwestern doesn't have the firepower to come back and decisively beat a team after going down and turning the ball over too much. And that's still okay. Michigan State winning a clunker of their own. Rocky Lombardi, not that accurate, but when he did hit balls, it was deep. I think it was Jalen Naylor who had the 75-yard touchdown early on.
Yep.
And they made plays. It was always going to be a, at best, uneven season for Michigan State. I mean, losing with 7 turnovers to Rutgers notwithstanding, that's what it was going to be. And beating Northwestern at home and East Lansing. The thing that I take away from this game about Michigan State is I hate so much that they won this game wearing those Ed Hardy uniforms.
Oh, man. With the
because now it's going to be like, well, look, maybe they're good luck. Maybe we should be superstitious about wearing these god-awful green on neon green look uniforms.
Listen, and you're an Oregon fan. You're an Oregon fan. You have no room to talk about ugly uniforms.
Hold on. Hold on. I definitely have room to talk. There is tasteful neon and there is Ed Hardy neon, Ty. I am an expert. That's the room I have to talk. Okay. And I will tell you, Oregon has had some bad looks over the years.
They have.
It's not because of the brightness. And it's not because of the full palette choices. I know it's an acquired look, but they have pulled it off stylishly most of the time. This Ed Hardy look is not that. That's all.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Well, look, Nice win for Michigan State, any way you slice it.
Yeah.
Whether or not Northwestern was legitimately a top 10 team, I think in our heart of hearts, we sort of knew that wasn't the case. It was fun to pretend for a little bit. Michigan State gets the W, so good for them.
Right.
As I said at the top, the Big Ten right now is sort of a war of attrition, right? Because of the cancellations and all that. Like, will the Big Ten championship game really have any meaning? Is, I think, where we're at. And at least sure. at present, it's a matter of who can at least get to that necessary threshold in order to qualify.
Well, the threshold is more complicated than I think we originally talked about, right? It's not just six games.
It's not just six games. If right. the league average of games that are played dips down to, you know, five, then right. it would be five. So it's kind of like the cut in a golf tournament where it's subject to performance of other players, the curve, other teams.
Yeah.
Right. But let's talk about Indiana, because Indiana had a game here against Maryland. Oof.
Stop the fight Saturday.
Stop the fight Saturday. They led 27-3 with about 8.5 left. 27-11, they win easily against the Maryland Terrapins. The story here, though, and I haven't seen an update yet,
right.
Michael Penix Jr. left with about 4.5 left in the third quarter with a lower leg injury. Jack Tuttle came in. You remember Jack Tuttle?
Of course, Utah transfer.
Utah
yeah.
transfer.
Highly regarded quarterback prospect. Yep.
Came in, went 5 of 5, but Penix obviously has been the engine that has been leading the charge for the Hoosiers this year. We hope he's okay. Tom Allen, after the game, did not offer a whole lot of clarity. He said we'll know more on Monday. But the Hoosiers are supposed to go on the road next week against Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if it goes off and if we've got a point spread, I'd be very interested in seeing what that point spread looks like.
Yep. Really ugly quarterbacking in the first half, even with Michael Penix in there. He was just way, way off. Talia Tagovailoa was way off. I think the strong points in this game were definitely, Dante Demas from Maryland making plays, and also the Indiana defense, really keeping what has been a very good Maryland offense down. The defense won this game, and it was, Tim Baldwin on the ground, not really Stevie Scott, who helped to pace the effort in that second half for the Hoosiers. And I think he was committed to Michigan at a certain point. Maybe I'm wrong about that. But Tim Baldwin, really nice performance, stepping up, making some big plays for Indiana as they move to 5-1. We don't need to pretend that Indiana has a playoff shot to be impressed with their season, because it's been good and I've enjoyed watching it. That is my final word.
Isn't it fun, though, to imagine teams that wouldn't normally be in this conversation being in the conversation, whether or not you feel they're legit, whether or not you feel Northwestern or Indiana or any of these teams have any shot against Clemson or Alabama. Doesn't it have a feel?
It does. I'm not going to tell people not to be hopeful and to hope for the best, but we don't need to lie to people at the same time, right?
Well, I guess my point is we have a lot of Northwestern fans that listen to this show. I know, because sure. they write in.
Yeah.
None of them have written in saying we can take Bama. I don't think they actually feel that way. I think they're excited.
Yeah.
I think they're excited to be part of this conversation. They're excited to be part of certainly the top 10 and maybe a larger, broader discussion of qualifying for the playoff, because they're not normally
sure.
in that place with their college football season. But none of them are writing in. No one's acting like they're actually going to beat Alabama. It's just
for sure. And it's Indiana fun to gave have Ohio State everything they could handle. It's a different
sure.
case. Indiana and Northwestern are different cases. Indiana
right.
Has a higher ceiling because of their offense than Northwestern. I know what you're saying.
It's fun to see some different teams in there, the same way it was years ago to see Boston College or Rutgers or some of these teams in the top five. Just saying.
Sure.
It's
yeah,
fun.
But I just want to appreciate, I want to actually talk about their players and their results and why they're doing this, instead of saying
they have a
4% chance of matching up against Clemson.
Absolutely.
Think that minimizes the actual football.
We're in agreement there. We're in total okay. agreement there. Three other games here. We did have two in the Big Ten, by the way, that were canceled. That was Ohio State, Illinois, and Minnesota, Wisconsin. Iowa knocked off Nebraska. Testy game, 26-20. This
yeah.
is the Heroes rivalry game. On Friday, you know, Nebraska did a pretty good job against the Iowa running game, and Adrian Martinez came in and I thought was pretty effective. 18 of 20 gave him a little bit of pop on offense, but it's still a team that is not generating any pressure and they're not doing anything to stretch the field. So it is largely a toothless effort by the Hornhuskers. Right. Before this game, anyway, they were something like 100.
Did you say Hornhuskers? I like that.
Did I say Hornhuskers? Cornhuskers.
That's fine. Yeah.
Were, you know, my second favorite stat, the air yards.
Mm-hmm.
104th in the nation in air yards. So their passes aren't going anywhere down the field. It's a lot of short stuff. And I think that kind of played itself out here as they lost to their quote unquote rival, the Iowa Hawkeyes.
Yeah, I think quarterback development. I mean, they've been unlucky with injuries, Nebraska. The story is still Iowa holding on to win this game and making plays. Neither one of these teams was particularly or has been particularly good through the air. Spencer Petras is just sort of a like 11 yard maximum kind of what was the longest pass? I mean, he completed 22, 16, 15, 18, 16. So he went downfield a little bit and also had some screens and yards after the catch kind of thing. But
yeah,
like watching Luke McCaffrey, he's a really talented athlete. He just does not seem like a winning Big Ten quarterback. Right. It just like doesn't seem like it's just a tough watch. If we're going to talk about an expanding Nebraska ceiling eventually, they're going to have to find a quarterback. They're going to have to find playmakers. They're going to have to get a much more consistent play out of their offensive line. Like these are not saying anything. This is a 1-4 team that has played like a 1-4 team. I hope they improve, but you can see why their record is what it is. And yeah, Iowa, after the slow start, losing to Northwestern and Purdue, has bounced back really nicely, gotten a little bit more creative with their own offensive limitations, and has made plays on defense with a back end that has struggled at times, but getting plays up front. So good for Iowa for edging out. It was what? How many field goals did Keith Duncan hit in this game? Four?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a sustainable way to win a ton of games, but it's good enough to win the Heroes game. That works.
Good enough to get the Heroes game. Yeah. You know, my thing about, especially 2020, it's such a goofy year for a lot of these teams, especially if you're in the Big Ten or the Pac-12 because you got a late jump on it. So I'm hesitant to like commit to any bit with these teams, but I would hope by now that you would start to see some gradual improvement, that there would be improvement that you could point to and say, aha. The wins, the losses, the bowl, like none of that stuff matters this season.
Right.
But at least if you have something you could point to, or a couple things that you can point to and say, all right, 2021, we got that going for us.
Mm-hmm.
At least on the offensive side of the ball, I don't know what that is for Nebraska. Luke McCaffrey's a good...
we're eventually going to have, in the way that we're eventually going to have a Jim Harbaugh conversation, we're eventually going to have a Scott Frost conversation.
Exactly. And I don't want to have
it. Probably sooner rather than later.
I don't want to have it because I like Scott Frost.
These are his dudes.
But my question is what is it on offense? What is the thing that... Because he's supposed to be an offensive guy. What is the thing on offense that I'm looking at with Nebraska and feeling better about week in and week out? Write in and let me know, solidverbal@gmail.com. If there's a thing that I missed, let me know. But, you know, at least on the Penn State side, we can flip over to Penn State here. You know, Penn State's 1-5 now. They beat Michigan by 10, 27-17. Not going to pretend that this was a pretty game to watch either, but...
Disagree.
You know,
I saw Penn State turn the ball over, zero times?
Zero times, right.
That's pretty. That's all relative.
It's all relative. But...
Kirk Sharaka.
The offense looked a little different in this game. Now, did it look better because they played a Michigan team that's had trouble in defense? Perhaps. And I think in all likelihood, that's got a lot to do with it. But it seemed as if Sean Clifford took a little bit of heat off the fastball and was more accurate as a result. It seemed like they figured out something on the ground with Kevon Lee, the four-star freshman out of Florida.
Yeah, and Parker Washington outright, the freshman from, I think, Texas, right?
Yeah. 134 and a touchdown on 22 carries for him. Parker Washington had a good game out wide. He has slowly been getting more and more action in this offense. So, look, it's still a bad Penn State team, but they have, I think, at least if we use this week as any kind of marker, seems like they figured some stuff out. And we'll have to see where it goes next couple of weeks. But this was promising what we saw against Michigan.
What's the saying? You don't need to be faster than the bear. You need to be faster than the guy next to you,
faster
also
than your
running
buddy.
From the bear.
Faster than your buddy. Yeah.
Penn State's bad, but they're not Michigan bad. And I guess that's something. Cade McNamara took a hit early on, and so Penn State basically dared him to throw the ball like 8 yards, and he couldn't really do it. And physically, I understand why. Hassan Haskins was good for Michigan, but just defensively, Michigan is playing with a MAC level, an average MAC level defense in terms of their tackling, in terms of their confidence and know-how. This is a Michigan defense that seems fully foreign to anybody who has watched football, I guess, beyond those Ohio State games. So I don't feel like I'm watching Michigan football. I don't feel like I'm watching Penn State football. But once again, win your clunkers. That might have been it was a really solid win your clunker Saturday. Good for Penn State for getting what in the win column. Yeah, great.
The only other game here to mention very quickly in the Big Ten was Rutgers coming from behind to knock off.
Are you rah-rah?
Purdue Boilermakers. Johnny Langan, the pride and joy of Wayne, New Jersey, a little bit outside New York, gets the job done.
I believe that's Fountains of Wayne. I believe that is the Wayne.
Okay.
It was a old fountain store that the band named themselves after. So Johnny Langan coming back to Stacy's mom. That's all I have for you.
Let's talk about the
But
Big
really
12.
Nice day. Really impressive day. They built the whole plane out of him and it worked.
Let's talk real quick about the Big 12. We had two matchups, I think, that bubbled to the surface. We had the Iowa State win over Texas 23-20, and we had the Oklahoma State-Texas Tech shootout game. The last time the Clones won a conference was pre-first pandemic, 1912. They didn't win anything in the Big 12 since joining, nor in the old Big 8. This is the conference before the conference, 1912. What a season. What a season for Matt Campbell. Beats both Oklahoma and Texas in the same year.
Right there with Louisiana. Right there.
Well, look, whatever. Whatever.
Actually, they weren't even right there.
Whatever.
Yeah.
They're the top dog now in the Big 12. I remain impressed by how hard they play. There is no quit there. They have truly bought into this Matt Campbell mentality, the system. They didn't grab their first lead until about a minute and a half left in this football game. That's when Breece Hall ran it in for the go-ahead touchdown. Breece Hall, by the way, held under 100 yards for the first time this year, but obviously got the big go-ahead score to give them the three-point W. Nice game for Brock Purdy. Nice game for Breece Hall. Nice game for our boy Chaz Kohler, who's
a
dude
really
this
nice.
Week. Six
the other
catches,
tight end was good too. Is it Sainer? Sooner? So I forget his name, but he was beat up and kept making plays.
Yeah. So nice win here for Iowa State on the road against Texas. Again, Texas was like a 1-point favorite, something like that. We hemmed and hawed a bit over who we were going to pick when we did the preview, but it was a close game. It was a good football game. Iowa State was able to pull it out as we described here in the very end.
Yeah, this was an impossibly tough watch if you're a Texas fan, just because situationally it's you can micro pick moments, right? It's on fourth and short here, the fake punt there, and they drive the ball all the way down thanks to a big pass early on, but settle for a field goal on fourth and goal or fourth and whatever. It was like 3 yards goal to go. They settle for that, but then other parts of the game, they're super aggressive. And so when we talk about identity, it's with the head coach. This is who we are. We are a very conservative team. We are not going we're not going to go for it on fourth down, midfield, all that often. We are going to go for two almost never, even if the situation calls for it mathematically. And Texas is just sort of all over the place with that. And to their credit, they have a lead. They have to be able to sit on a lead better. And Iowa State, to their credit, they're patient. They move the ball. And I don't know. I feel like Sam Ehlinger made plenty of plays, like especially downfield. It was he and Brendan Eagles had a really nice connection. But Texas, with a pathway to the Big 12 championship game, winning at home against an Iowa State team who's good but not perfect, and they have that lead for basically the entire game and then just give it away. It sort of feels like the story of a lot of what Sam Ehlinger and Tom Herman have done together. It's just, what are we?
Yeah.
And the games that they're ahead in, it becomes too close at the end. The games that they look terrible in for three quarters, they come back and make a game and either win or lose. Like, I don't know. I don't think Longhorn Hearts can take it much longer.
Yeah.
Literal hearts, literal aortic valves.
Oh, man. Okay. Okay. Staying in the Big 12, let's talk about Oklahoma State.
Okay.
It feels like it's been a very odd season.
Yes.
For the Cowboys.
2020
here.
As a whole.
2020 as a whole. So in this one, both Chuba Hubbard and LD Brown were hurt and didn't play. The two running backs, two-star running backs for Oklahoma State. Desmond Jackson, the third string, steps in. I know it was just Texas Tech, right? They don't play any defense. But 36 carries, 235 yards, three touchdowns, a certified dude in week 13. Yeah. I would hope he's on your list by now.
He absolutely is.
They needed an effort like this because it was back and forth until like the third quarter when they actually started pulling away here. Say what you want about Tech. There are many things, most of them not great, but they always put up yards and they always put up points. Most often they
put up points. And they've been beating Oklahoma State recently.
Yeah. They outgained Oklahoma State in this game. Had something like 639 yards in total. A few key moments go differently. And I think Texas Tech could win this football game. But there was a safety. There was, at one point, a pick six. They tried an onside kick, which Oklahoma State not only recovered, but returned, I believe. So a couple moments that
it's like a surfer coming out of a giant wave where you're positive he has been eaten alive. And you're like, oh, came out of there. Huh. This is pretty impressive. Good for State.
A couple key things. They go differently. Maybe the result here is different. But the final score was Oklahoma State 50, Texas Tech 44, Dan.
Yeah. Oklahoma State defense, reputationally, perhaps has taken a hit after it was British comedy legend Alan Bowman, right?
384, three touchdowns. Yeah.
So he had a nice day. Good to see him with all the injury issues that he's had. Yeah, you're right about everything in this game. It's at Sirodrick Thompson for Texas Tech on the ground. Also had a really nice day. Good running back game. I think it was Tylan Wallace's final game and Boone Pickens. So storied career there. Excited to see him and what he's able to do at the next level. But I guess Oklahoma State, win your defensive clunker and
win your
move to
6-2.
Really, really nice way to finish out the home stretch of their season. The home portion of their season. And we'll see what happens in the postseason for them, I guess.
Your other two games here in the Big 12, just to round out the conference, we had Baylor 32, K-State 31. For context, Dan, 32 points scored in the first three quarters of this football game. 31 points scored in just the fourth quarter as the Bears came to life. Usually Baylor's the one choking away the game. In this case, they were the ones mounting the charge, coming back. Nice game by our boy Chaz Brewer. And of course, as we had our caller allude to, in the wrong way, mind you, but John Mayers kicks the game-winning field goal, delivers a little heartbreak warfare to K-State Wildcats.
Yeah, K-State's been a rough watch, but Deuce Vaughn, sensational in this one, he generally seems to be. And Chaz Brewer, we should underline his name. He's had a rough year. He did everything for Baylor in the second half.
They built the whole plane out of it, as you would say.
He was fantastic. So I like that bounce back effort from him. He's had a tough go of things physically, for sure. And Kansas State and Will Howard, maybe he's the quarterback of the future. Maybe he evolves into something. But it's been a rough watch for this K-State offense trying to throw the ball downfield. And, you know, Deuce Vaughn can only do so much, as we mentioned. So good for Baylor for coming back. I did see somebody reference. I did not see this with my own eyes, but apparently they were showing Baylor's holder pregame having some sort of yippy situation placing the ball down.
Tell me about the yips.
It didn't come through. It didn't come through. Baylor was able to get a field goal off successfully and win the game. So tried to be, I guess, who aired this game? Was it ESPN? I guess ESPN tried to jinx the Bears, but Baylor comes through. Nice way to finish out the game.
The only other game here, TCU knocks off Kansas. No surprise there.
You see Max Duggan's line at one point was like, three of 11 for three touchdowns. Yeah, they ran all over Kansas.
Almost doesn't make sense. So they win. Of course, the Oklahoma-West Virginia game was postponed. Let's jump around. Let's cover some other games here. I'll go to the SEC because we had a couple games there that
were meaningful. Let's talk about that Egg Bowl.
There he is.
Love that movie. Love that movie. 31.
As soon as I saw his name, and as soon as I watched the game and heard his name, I was like, Jaden Wally. Will Rogers to Jaden Wally.
31-24, Ole Miss wins the Egg Bowl. Two teams kind of in a rebuilding mode. Mississippi State, we talked on the preview, they've gotten better on defense and to some extent on offense over the course of November. And Ole Miss is dangerous, if only because the offense is so potent. In this game, actually, a nice showing by their defense. They played better than expected defense here and led for a good chunk of this game, won by 7. But nice win here. An interesting matchup, to say the least, with two new coaches, both of whom are very public and very well known by the college football universe.
When you mentioned Nebraska fans needing, like, let's get something to get into this offseason to be optimistic about, Mississippi State has Will Rogers. Mississippi State has Jaden Wally. Mississippi State has a team that has outperformed expectations with a new defense. That's what we're talking about, right? Mississippi State has a lot of work to do. But there are elements where, like, okay, we can build on this. And that's what we're talking about. As far as Ole Miss goes, I neglected to say Elijah Moore's name when I was talking about Devontae Smith and the best receivers in the country. Elijah Moore is in any conversation about the best receivers in the country. Oh, he is just a complete terror in the best way.
He's a retired dude. We can't even keep using him.
Yeah, that's true. Really, Jerry and Elian has had an up and down year, I believe. So nice of him to show up and make plays. And yeah, Ole Miss, in what was probably going to be a topsy-turvy season, was, but they gave Alabama everything they could handle. They win the Egg Bowl, all in all. And I think they've had at least one or two games postponed, right?
Yeah.
Strange year. They have A&M, I believe. Is it next week? I don't know. Maybe that game wasn't rescheduled. I don't know. But really impressive first year for Ole Miss.
I agree. Okay. Let's talk about four other games in the SEC to close out the conference. Texas A&M 20, LSU 7. We had Georgia 45-16 over South Carolina. Florida 34-10.
It's the LSU game, by the way, that Ole Miss is playing later
the
on.
The LSU game. Okay.
Yeah.
Florida 34-10 over Kentucky and Mizzou 41-0 over Vandy. Let me start with that A&M game because I did have an opportunity to watch.
Stop the fight. Just throwing haymakers at nobody.
to watch part. This is a bad football game. This is a bad football game. It was rainy. It was even worse for the LSU offense. The LSU offense was just dreadful. Courtesy of our friends, I didn't do this research. This is a lot of work, mind you. But courtesy of our friends over at And the Valley Shook, great LSU community. LSU's 17 drives resulted in 11 punts, 2 interceptions, 1 missed field goal, and a failed fourth down conversion, Dan. The irony for LSU amid all that is that the defense actually played pretty well.
Yeah, they were fine.
The defense actually played pretty well, and that's going to be the hardest pill to swallow. Kellen Mond was 11 of 34, had 105 yards passing. It wasn't like A&M lit the world on fire at all. 20-7, though, was your final score. I'm sure LSU fans aren't going to feel very satisfied after that one.
Are you ready?
I am ready. Do it.
Punt, downs, field goal, punt, 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 touchdown, punt, fumble, interception, punt, miss field goal, punt, 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 end of half, punt, 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 fumble, punt, interception, touchdown, punt, 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 touchdown.
Did you practice that before today?
Absolutely not.
That was good.
When do I prepare for the show by looking at football games?
A little freelance Dvorak. I love it.
End of game.
Yeah. Wow. Not a great game. Not
when
a great
Conkers,
game.
A&M lost this game 50-7 last year. They won this year 20-7. Forget about all of the relevant context. Not bad.
All right. When are you going to get done with that Win Your Clunkers shirt? We need
it's
that
done.
Shirt.
I got to put it out. Yeah.
We need that shirt out there.
Okay.
All right. What else? We had Georgia winning big. Look, Dogs jumped out to a 21-0 lead. They sort of just coasted. They didn't have to do much beyond playing just a normal brand of defense and handing it off to James Cook and Zamir White. That was really all they needed to do. Didn't need to rely on JT Daniels or anything crazy. Just
he was fine.
Play defense and hand the ball off. 45-16 is your final. The Florida game started kind of slow, actually. Started kind of slow. It was 14-10 Florida at half. But then the Kyle driver, you know, the Kyle driver just over the course of 60 minutes is too much. Kyle Pitts was back playing. Three touchdowns, had 99 yards. Kyle Trask, 256. All three of those touchdowns went to his boy, Kyle Pitts. So once the offense gets going, the Gators are very, very good. Just took them a little bit to get moving here against Kentucky.
Yeah, anytime anything is going wrong in life, anytime something needs a jump starting, we just need Dan Mullen yelling at Todd Grantham very publicly. That appears to be the solution to get a little more energy going. And it worked, I suppose. Also, it helps that Kadarius Toney is fantastic with the ball in his hands as well on special teams right before the half. So, yeah, nice win for Florida. I don't know. I mean, Kyle Trask was, I guess, a mere mortal in this one. I suppose this affects his Heisman candidacy, but he's a fantastic quarterback nonetheless. I don't know how much there is to take away from this game beyond Florida. Survive in advance, slow start, fast finish. Cool. Mizzou Vandy featured a squid kick heard around the world. Sarah Fuller.
Congratulations to her. First woman to compete at the Power 5 level.
And Mizzou, another one of those teams that can head into the offseason whenever that is, whenever that begins. We're like, all right, showed some things. Got a quarterback we feel pretty decent about. Larry Three Sticks, he's gone and had a fantastic career for Mizzou by the time we get to the offseason. But your guy, Nick Bolton, another ho-hum, really strong game for Mizzou. It's Vandy, but regardless, Mizzou is one of those teams. I mean, I'd much rather be a Mizzou team than a Mizzou fan than a Nebraska fan right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
That's all. Okay, continue.
All right, ACC, let's close this out.
God, I'm ragging on Nebraska way too much. I want Nebraska to be okay.
You're upsetting
the dog.
ACC. You're upsetting the dog.
I'm sorry, Barra.
Clemson wins big. They scored 31 points in the first quarter. Trevor Lawrence's first game in a month, presumably his final home game, which he said kind of without saying, threw for 400 yards, two touchdowns. Yeah, nothing unexpected there. We had Boston College knocking off Louisville. Louisville with more turnovers. Sort of the story of their season for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
NC State knocking off Syracuse 36-29. And Georgia Tech knocking off Duke 56-33. Virginia, Florida State. Florida State, again, ducking another team.
Oh, you kid. I know, but damn.
I kid.
Okay. Clemson goes up 31-0 in the first quarter against a totally okay Pitt team.
Yeah.
Did you hear all of the banging on the trash can anytime Pitt sent in an offensive play? No? No?
No, there's no Astro situation that I'm aware of.
Well, I mean, Clemson does steal signs, and that's a very legal thing to do. But damn, Clemson knew every single play. It was three and out, interception, three and out, interception. Like, it was, maybe Pitt changed their signs at a certain point, because I think they rattled off, they turned a turnover into points. Like, Pitt made this somewhat respectable, but angry Clemson is something to behold, and that's what we got to see. And isn't it nice to just, like, be down your best receiver tragically? Not that. And have somebody like Cornell Powell step up for Clemson. So Justin Ross misses the season, and, you know, having Amari Rodgers, now having Cornell Powell, like, it must be nice.
It's an embarrassment of riches. Yeah.
It's an embarrassment of riches. And again, it's Andrew Booth, right? He's the DB for Clemson. He had the ridiculous interception. I saw a slow motion. Like, is he floating? Is Andrew Booth somebody who has slowed down time a la Zach Morris? Yeah. Really nice for Clemson, and nothing unexpected. I liked Pitt to keep it relatively close, but interceptions can change that. Elsewhere in the ACC, did you see how Syracuse eventually closed out this game in a losing effort?
I did not, actually.
Okay.
Rex I read Culpepper, about this. I did not actually see it.
He spiked the ball on fourth down. Can't do that.
Yeah.
Can't do that. And NC State's able to hold on in a very strange game. Bailey Hockman has a nice enough game. Phil Dracovic hurt for Boston College. Hope he's all right. Hope it's nothing too serious. I haven't seen any update beyond that. Georgia Tech, and I told you this after week one. I said, I don't know if they're going to be good, But Jahmyr Gibbs looks like a really good player.
Yeah.
And he is going to be, if he's not already there, one of the best running backs in the ACC, if not beyond. That's just, I'm calling it now. Jeff Sims also ran the ball really well. Out of the quarterback position, they comfortably beat Duke. But I'm telling you right now, I was in early. And yeah, rough game for Louisville.
Rough game for Louisville. All right.
Yeah.
Let's close it out, Dan. Let's talk about the Pac-12. There were a couple games here we need to make mention of very quickly. We had Washington coming from behind. They were down 21-0.
Did you watch any of this? Weird game. Fun game.
Very weird game. Washington down 21-0 at half. They mount a charge. 24 unanswered points in the second half, capped off by a 16-yard touchdown from Dylan Morris, new Washington quarterback, to Cade Otten with just 36 seconds left. Nice game-winning drive for Washington, Dan. 12 plays, 88 yards, about 4 minutes. Nice way to close out the game for Dylan Morris, who otherwise threw three picks and didn't necessarily have a banner showing, but to get the W here in the fashion that they did, I thought was really impressive. So nice win for the Huskies. They're still undefeated. What are they, 3-0 in conference?
3-0. Yep.
Yep. We had Stanford knocking off Cal, 24-23. Austin Jones, two touchdowns on the ground. They take back the Axe Trophy. Colorado wins by 10. They're also 3-0 as they knock off San Diego State. Mm-hmm. And UCLA gets a big game on the ground, and they win by a 27-10 score over the Arizona Wildcats.
So first of all, yeah, Washington goes down 21-0 at halftime. The turnovers weren't great. I believe one of those interceptions, though, was a halftime Hail Mary interception. So not the exact same way. Obviously, Utah couldn't turn it into an actual successful drive or points. But Utah's offensive line really pushed around Washington's front. And even though Washington had a couple guys who made plays and got to Jake Bentley pretty often and forced him into some mistakes himself, good to see Utah's offensive line. Good to see Utah up front on both sides of the ball, managing to develop dudes after losing as much as they did. Jake Bentley wasn't particularly good, but he did make plays. Utah was mostly good on the ground. And you were right about Dylan Morris and his connection to Cade Otten. Looks very comfortable to him, including that game winner. Still finding a rhythm with Washington's receivers out wide. Not fully there yet. It's very reminiscent of Jake Browning. And I think he'll get to an interesting place. I don't think Washington fully has those playmakers that they did for good stretches under Jake Browning on offense. But yeah, really good for Washington bouncing back. Their secondary is so good. And I hope more people can watch. I think it's Elijah Molden and Trent McDuffie, their corners. Those guys are so impressive, make plays consistently. And we talk about building the whole plane out of elements of teams. Those are the dudes for Washington right now. Absolutely. So really nice comeback win, and hard to sustain how Utah was winning in that first half if they're not able to sustain drives. But I guess good for the Utes for looking good for a stretch, I guess, after a very strange start to their season. And this was a last minute matchup, of course, after Wazoo cancels and ASU can't go. Same with Colorado and San Diego State. Good for the Colorado defense. I think their inside linebacker had a terrific game, the Buffs, Nate Landman. Jarek Broussard, not necessarily efficient, but good on the ground. Chase Griffin for UCLA was good enough, didn't turn the ball over. But yeah, you're right about Demetric Felton. Arizona, you know, they're shorthanded themselves and just they don't have it.
No,
And by the way, Stanford won on a blocked PAT.
Yeah,
it's a rough way to go. It's a rough way to go. Cal now 0-3, your Cal Bears.
Yeah. All right. The only other game here to make mention of, at least on my list, Coastal Carolina ran one up on Texas State, 49-14. Shots. We had the Cincinnati Temple game canceled. We had Tulsa and Houston postponed. Again, more of the story here in week 13, the deeper we get into the season. We have at least a dozen cancellations the last couple of weeks running. Hopefully that changes. I don't know if it will. I don't suspect it will, but that's just sort of where we're at, Dan. Anything else that you want to make mention of before we get to your dudes?
Yeah, of course. The war on I-4, USF, disappointing first season under Jeff Scott in terms of their record, but showed good fight against UCF. Dylan Gabriel had a really nice day, and it was Jordan McLeod, by the way, leading the way for the Bulls. So a bit of a shootout. I think the final score is closer than it technically was. UNLV falls to 0-5 under Marcus Arroyo. They lose to Wyoming. SMU. Did you see the SMU halftime score against ECU and my dear, dear son, Holden Ahlers?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think it was 45-7. And I'm quoting here, obliterated the Mustangs. If you pay deep attention on Twitter, you understand the reference, and bless you if you don't. Let's see. Otherwise, as I'm scrolling through, yeah, you mentioned the Shants. I mean, we mentioned at the top, but Buffalo. Jarrett Patterson, Ty?
What a beast,
409 and 8 touchdowns?
What a beast.
This is a Kent State team that is, yes, absolutely led by their offense and has been really strong on offense right now. But, man, Buffalo. Lance, is it Leipold or Leopold? I want to say it's Leopold. Like, Leipold. I know. It's Leipold. Toledo goes down to Ball State. A nice season for the Staters, the Ball Staters. What are they, the Cardinals? The Red Cardinals. Hawks? There's something red. Yeah. What else do we have here? As I scroll, nice win for Louisiana, but Monroe is not good. App State, nice comfortable win against Troy. Always good to see. Memphis, by the way, 10-7 against Navy. This was a postponed matchup that finally got played. I don't remember the last time Memphis won a game 10-7. This is not a very tigery score,
no.
But very quietly 6-2. A very impressive first year for Ryan Silverfield, all things considered. Yes, they got taken down by Cincinnati pretty thoroughly, but beating UCF, having COVID issues and bouncing back and keeping things relatively together, having the opt-outs that they did among those skill position dudes, I'm impressed by that. Hashtag Carson Strong, and Nevada goes down to Hawaii on the islands 24-21. I think that's it for the games that actually got played. I'm ready to talk about dudes.
Who are your dudes for week 13?
I'll say his name again. Jarrett Patterson, Buffalo running back, over 400 yards, 8 touchdowns. Jamar Jefferson, 226 in a winning effort for the Beavs in the Platypus Cup. I don't know if we're going with that, but that's at least a placeholder for now. Johnny Langan for Rutgers was all over the place. Chaz Brewer, Taj Harris for Syracuse in a losing effort. Really had a nice game for the Orange. Nate Landman, I mentioned, for Colorado, all over the place. Clark Lee, I'm just giving him the dude alert. I'm okay. Giving Clark Lee the dude alert, maybe we can just give it to the defensive line for Notre Dame. Desmond Jackson, Oklahoma State. Will Rogers to Jaden Wally, just because I want to hear the sound once more, Ty. Wally. Oh, so great. And Cornell Powell, shout him out, Clemson, and the freshman for Penn State. I know it was not a very exciting game against Kevon Michigan, Lee. But I like bright spots, Ty. Parker Washington, right. Kevon Lee.
Cool. Well, thank you, one and all, for downloading, for listening to the show. We will be back on Wednesday to preview all the Week 14 action in front of us. We're also going to be continuing this conversation after we hit the stop button, which you can find out on our Patreon. Just go to verballers.com for more information on how you can access the extended, not only early access to our recap show on Sundays, but also the extended conversation that we are about to have here after we hit stop for just the general podcast that goes out on the public feed. So verballers.com is where you can find out all that information. Don't forget to follow along on social media as well. And don't forget to check out our good friends over at Learfield IMG College. Just go to College Sports Now, either on TuneIn, or you can search for the College Football Rewind wherever you get your podcasts. They do a good job going back through, going inside the radio booth, listening to some of the hometown calls as they cut it all together and try to give you a general sense for what transpired in Week 13. Do a good job doing that. We said time and again about the College Football Blitz on football Saturdays, but on Sundays, you get a good job there. You can see the good job that they do. You can listen to the good job that they do by checking out the College Football Rewind.
They have microphones. They're on time. Good job. It's entertaining. I like it a lot. I think that's all I have. I'm excited to get into the segment I have planned for our certified and premium Verballers here.
For that guy over there, my good friend, Dan Rubenstein, for myself, Ty Hildebrand, thank you so much for downloading, for listening. Hope you all had a good holiday weekend, that you're staying safe, and as always, staying solid.
Peace.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.